From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Parts of the Kenai River are still frozen over. But the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has already closed the early and late king salmon runs to sport fishing, also shutting down the beleaguered Cook Inlet East Side set net fishery before fishermen can gear up. Ken Coleman is vice president of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association, which represents set netters. He says he's never seen the fishery close completely this early.
This is my 53rd year coming up as a set netter, and I have never experienced this.
Fish and Game releases a preseason forecast for the early run every winter to give guides and fishermen a sense of what to expect before the summer starts. This year, the department projects fewer than 3,000 kings in the early run and around 13,500 in the late run, falling below the goal range set by the Board of Fish of 15 to 30,000 fish. In a pair of emergency orders released March 2nd, the department said that meant it would close all sport fishing for king salmon in the river. The changes have been hard on guides who long relied on taking clients on king salmon trips. As counts have continued to decline and closures have become more common, they've pivoted to fishing for sockeye, halibut, and trout. But for set netters, whose fishery also closes when the king sport fishery does, there's no plan B. Coleman said Friday his phone had been ringing all day since the orders came out.
But they've been asking, is there any way to make a change? Is there anything mechanical that we can do as set netters, such as fishing less or fishing shallower nets?
Legal action and out-of-cycle proposals to the Board of Fish both failed last year. Coleman says the best they can hope for is, in the middle of summer, the department makes another assessment and is able to reconsider opening the fishery, at least partially. But he says that would require a miracle. Thanks to KDLL's Sabine Pooks for that story.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Kenai Peninsula students got a chance to get out on the ice with fishing rods and bait last week. It's part of a program run by the Department of Fish and Game with local schools and homeschooling families to teach kids about fish, their varieties, and habitats throughout the year. KBBI's Corinne Smith tagged along with elementary students at the Homer Reservoir and filed this report.
About 50 feet out on the ice of Homer's frozen reservoir, dozens of students from kindergarten to second grade are bundled up and gathered in twos and threes around cut holes in the ice. They each hold a mini fishing rod baited with shrimp. 6-year-old Solo Sky Frost sits patiently jigging the line as instructed, waiting for a fish. It's his first time fishing, and he's focused.
I'm trying to ice fish, which I've never done before. Okay, this is my first day, actually.
The ice fishing event is part of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's annual Salmon in the Classroom program, which teaches Kenai Peninsula students about salmon biology throughout the school year, says Fish and Game sport fish biologist Holly Dixon.
So most of these kids back in their classrooms have aquariums where they're raising salmon eggs to fry, and then they'll release them in the spring. And this is just one of the other events that happens throughout the winter as part of that program.
Today, students are fishing for Dolly Varden, which can be found in freshwater lakes like the reservoir or the open ocean, which can grow up to 30 inches or 27 pounds.
It's the middle of the winter, so they are not as actively feeding, but when the kids drop bait down on a jig, it might be the first snack they've seen in a while. A lot of the dollies are pretty long and skinny, and so I think they can be voracious at times up here. Especially when we show up with a bunch of kids and a bunch of bait.
Dixon says the outdoor event helps students learn about ice fishing gear, technique, and safety, as well as sport fish harvest limits and deciding whether to catch or release a fish. After about an hour, there are not a lot of bites, and some students leave their rods secured in the snow to run and check on each other to see who's caught a fish. There's also snacks and hot cocoa to help with the waiting. Aaron Pollock is a kindergarten teacher with Fireweed Academy, a Homer-based charter school, one of the classrooms where students are experiencing the life cycle of salmon firsthand.
In the fall, we go to the Anchor River for a field trip where we actually cut open salmon and we fertilize the eggs with the milk, and then we get to bring the eggs back to our classroom and raise them in a tank. And so we have eggs at our classroom that have hatched into fry, and the kids are starting to be able to feed them, and they record the temperature in the tank every day, and they're so excited they've each named one of the fish.
Pollock says while some students are fishing for the first time, others come from commercial fishing families and are very familiar. Regardless, the learning experience also connects students to the community.
Maybe a third of our families are fishing families, whether they're gill netters or seiners or whatever part it may be in our community. We have maybe at least half who have no idea that this existed as an option. And even the fishing families didn't know that you can ice fish here in the winter. I didn't know that, and I've been salmon seining for like 7 years. So last year was my first year coming to this program, and I was like, what do you mean there's fish in the reservoir? I love ice fishing. I had no idea.
Ryan Lee is a parent volunteer and says his second grader has been out ocean and river fishing quite a bit. But he says it's about having fun outside.
That's learning, being in nature, keeping themselves busy, just doing active stuff outside. If they catch fish, that's awesome, and that just adds to the excitement to do this again. Look at these guys over. They're just making a snow fort. It doesn't matter if they're fishing or not, as long as they're warm and moving around and having fun.
The Department of Fish and Game says 675 Kenai Peninsula students participated in 2 days of ice fishing at Sport Lake in Soldotna and at the Homer Reservoir. There's the promise of taking the fish home and cooking it up with families, but today only one dolly was caught and released. Students will have to hope for more bites another day. In Homer, I'm Corinne Smith.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA, at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
The West Coast halibut season opens on Friday, March 10th. That includes the entire commercial fishery in Alaska from southeast to the Bering Sea. As KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports, this year's catch limits are down from last year.
Catch limits for Pacific halibut are about 10% lower than last year across all user groups, including commercial and recreational fishermen. Altogether, they're allowed to catch nearly 37 million pounds of halibut overall, which is about 4 million pounds less than last year. Kurt Iverson is a fishery management specialist with NOAA Fisheries. He says that doesn't tell the whole story. It wasn't a drop in catch limits for all areas.
There were significant drops in individual areas as well.
The stock assessment showed different rates of declines across the fishery, but the lower 48 actually saw higher numbers than last year and no cuts to its catch limits. Alaska's fishery, however, saw cuts across the board. The International Pacific Halibut Commission sets catch limits and completes the yearly stock assessment in cooperation with the U.S. and Canada. The fishery includes California, Oregon, and Washington, British Columbia in Canada, and waters along Alaska's coastline from southeast out the Aleutian Chain, plus the Pribilof Islands. Harvest limits for the central Gulf of Alaska, which is the largest fishing area by volume, are about 17% lower than last year. Iverson says biologists and fishery managers had a number of concerns going into this year, starting with the fishery's performance last year.
The catch per unit of effort was the lowest historic performance we've seen.
Catch per unit effort, which is one indicator of how much halibut there is to catch, was down 15% last year. Iverson says that's partly because the fishery is mostly relying on stocks of fish from two strong halibut years, 2012 and 2005.
Now, those fish from 2005, they're 17 years old right now, and they're aging out. They're aging out. There are fewer and fewer of them every year. And the year classes between 2012 and 2005 were relatively small.
Iverson says biologists and managers don't have a crystal ball, but as older fish age out of the fishery, most are looking cautiously at the years ahead. Halibut season runs from March 10th through early December. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.